and this is Julian with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And now your host, Armand DeMille.
Hey there, everybody. How are you? This is Armand DeMille with Ben and Julian.
Julian did that intro pretty good.
It was pretty good, right? Getting along. Yesterday he did it also, but I was out. So now people hearing his voice said, oh, he may not be in, but now I was in. Well done, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're talking about something very interesting that I noticed that a lot of people talk about and just almost doesn't get mentioned at all. The issue is timing. Timing. We don't think about how important timing is in our lives and what effect it has on our lives. Timing. The timing you use when you walk down the street. You walk down the street, you're in a certain rhythm. You're not in that rhythm, you feel what they call out of sorts. You have a rhythm. You have a sense of your own timing. You wake up in the morning and somebody's rushing you out of bed. You don't like it because you have a sense of timing. And you like to be on your own timing. So things happen. So let's examine timing from a few different perspectives. And first, I'm going to go to an example of something that happened with Julian, who is my... Julian is my coach, my acting coach. He's my acting coach. I was once reading something from something I had here, and he said, you know, Armand, we were kind of rehearsing, and he said, it sounds like you're reading. And I said, what's the difference? He said, the difference is in your timing. He said, when you're reading it, there's a certain timing that's not yours. Well, I thought that was an interesting observation. Acting is all about timing, isn't it? What about acting in timing, Julian? And we say acting because Julian is an actor.
Well, I mean, every person kind of has a rhythm that they follow. You've got the characters, like I was mentioning before, Sherlock, who's this fast-paced character, and then all of a sudden he'll stop, and he'll start thinking. And he has to stop and take that moment, or else he is not playing it realistically. And for every kind of person, that's why it relates so well to acting, they've got a rhythm that you need to follow as an actor, of timing.
You have a rhythm of timing. You have a timing as an actor, but you can't follow it at times. At times, you have to get out of your own timing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I'm playing someone else, it's a different timing than myself, for sure.
Now, that's an interesting thing.
We have a thing when you're playing a younger person, your timing is sped up and sort of out of your body, like you're not prepared for yourself. When you're playing younger, you're talking and talking and talking, kind of like not aware of what's going on. You're not thinking about what's happening. You don't take that moment before you speak to think through what you're going to say. So when the first thing you can do as an actor, when you're, let's say I'm 22 and I need to play 16 years old, I can start talking before I think about it, and I'm sort of like, oh, that's crazy. Like, it just sort of flows out because you're 16 years old.
Show me a 16-year-old thinking. Show me a 16-year-old timing. Like you did it on the Carrie Diaries, right?
Yes, I did. Well, I was walking down the street, and it was really crazy because I was there, and the light was on, and the light changed, and I was crossing the street, and I looked both ways because my mom always told me to look both ways, but I looked both ways. But then this car, it just came out of nowhere, and it went right by me, and it was so crazy.
Beautiful. Now that's 16, right?
Yeah.
Give me that at age 60.
Okay. I don't know if I'm prepared to do the voice for a 60-year-old, but I'll give you the rhythm.
Give me the rhythm of a 60-year-old.
I walked down the street, and I got to the light, and it was flashing. And as I'd always been told, I looked both ways, and I began my walk across the street.
So the timing now is much slower. More methodical.
It's history. You've got the history of a 60-year-old in the timing, I think.
Sure.
The life experience.
Right. I mean, every word matters to that person because it represents 60 years of their life.
I don't know the reason why, but words seem to be
chosen.
Maybe they are, just maybe the superfluous words are not.
Sure, that's a good point.
You know, maybe you don't have to have as much material in there. Because the more stuff you have in there, the more confusing it gets.
Right. So as an actor in your age range, is it most comfortable playing those roles, timing-wise?
I find myself connecting with the younger one easier just because it's closer to me. I've been through it. It takes a lot more observation and study to learn to play somebody older, for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, so when you sit with me, you see my timing is very different than yours.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's very different.
So you drag yourself down, or you drag yourself out of your timing to be able to communicate with me.
Yeah, I want to stay on the same level with you here on the radio.
Right.
Yeah.
And when we're hanging out, I bring myself to you.
Yeah, I become more myself, and I kind of...
And I just join you there.
Absolutely.
Big difference.
So what about how does timing apply for those of us who are not actors? For us regular folk?
It doesn't.
It doesn't.
Back to you, Julian. Yes, what about timing in your life? What about your sense of timing?
Well,
do you have your own timing, Ben? Do you know your timing?
I do, but I can't help but get this feeling that a lot of my timing is either lucky or unlucky, that it's hard to really control.
So you don't know that there is a Ben and a rhythm of Ben?
I have my own rhythm, but... A lot of things that happen in terms of timing in my life didn't necessarily happen because my timing was intentionally good. It was more serendipitously good.
But as you get older, you find the intention of your timing better?
Yeah,
So we could say Big Ben's clock is better.
Yeah, you could say that.
You could say that, right? Mm-hmm.
Well, even just my presence here is because when I reached out to you about helping you with the show, the timing was such that Julian was
Now you're going out to the world of coincidence, which I know what you're saying. I don't call that what the timing... I mean, that's a timing that's fascinating, but I don't find that interesting. What I find interesting is our internal timing, and I'll tell you a story about Wingate Stillwater III, a story you've never heard. So I used to be a drummer, and I used to have drumsticks. In my younger days as a therapist, I had a pair of drumsticks on my desk. And in between patients, I would practice on a drumstick pad, right? It would just practice things. And a guy walks in, and he's schizophrenic. Schizophrenic means not living in reality. He's in a fantasy world. And he walks into my office, and he comes in being brought by his sister. And his real name was Herb... And his last name, I'm not giving it to you exactly, was like Herb Hertz. You know, it's barely a name you could kind of notice. And he was a fabric designer. In the old days, before computers, you would design fabric inch by inch by inch. So it's an obsessive compulsive task. You would just do it a little at a time. Okay. So... Herb comes in and he says to me, I say, what's your problem, Herb? And he says, my problem is, my name is Wingate Stillwater III. I am a rock musician. I play guitar. I stand on stage at Carnegie Hall alone, and I am visited by Princess, what was her name? Anastasia.
Anastasia, yeah.
He says, I'm in love with Anastasia, but she's in a wheelchair. This is all in his fantasy. He sees this going on all day. And she's accompanied by Robert Redford. And Robert Redford takes her and runs her around. And she doesn't get a chance to really listen to hear me play. That's my problem. So he said, how can you help me with that? And I said to him, well, the problem's not your playing. I said, the problem is your rhythm. I said, you need a good rhythm section. I said, you don't have a good drummer around nowadays. That's what you need. You need somebody who could help you step into your own rhythm better. And it actually kept him around for 2 years. And he actually walked out of that place not having that fantasy anymore. In fact, not even being schizophrenic. Because he had somebody who could listen to him. And I think that happens to me a lot with patients. I think clients just want me to hear their rhythm. What's their story? not what they should be, not who they should be, not what they think they should be, who they feel they are. Let's talk about how the different timings in life affect us. Imagine music without timing. One note.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Nothing, right? One note.
Yeah, it's all about the timing.
I'll make you bet somebody's going to do a super projection of the future where the music has no timing in it, right? So the music has, like, you know, those instant photographs that people take. Like, it's just a flash of music. You don't any longer need to have the rhythm behind it.
Just a bite.
Just something like that, or a big bite, or a giant bite. But music becomes redefined. Does not depend on timing, doesn't depend on that. That could be possible. What about, how would traffic be if the lights didn't have timing?
It would be chaos.
It would certainly be an interesting
thing. I mean, it's already pretty chaotic.
Continuous. But it would just be totally continuous. It would never stop.
Or we would have developed some kind of a system where we no longer need traffic lights, right? Because we have a timing that's being laid out for you. So the world depends on this sense of timing, and each of you out there depend on your sense of timing. Now, the one thing that I think knocks most people out of their timing is romance.
Sure. Absolutely.
You've been there.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have been there. I mean, we spoke about an example earlier about, you know, what if you were living in a city like New York for a long time and suddenly you got a job opportunity in a city far away, like, say, London, and the last day that you were in New York, you met a beautiful person that you were romantically interested in and you really connected with, but the timing was such that you really couldn't pursue it because you were going to London the next day. That's an example of timing.
But that's also an example of how the timing became determined by your fear of going to London. You see, in other words, it sounds like, oh, I fell in love. But even the timing of falling in love very often is based on some abandonment of your own timing and your own spirit. Most falling in love is questionable. It is. It is, unfortunately, it is. That's why they say it lasts a short time.
So are we saying that timing represents something that we're not aware of as human
beings?
Yes,
you're not aware of it.
So timing is sort of always there, but kind of affecting everything, and we...
Everything. You can't feel your pulse right now, right? If you paid attention, you might.
If I paid attention, yeah, but only for that moment.
But the world, your body survives by not having you to pay attention to that. You don't have to pay attention to it.
That's why it's hard for me to see timing as anything but lucky, in a way. I mean, like we mentioned earlier, I do have a sense of my own timing, but...
But do you have a sense of your own timing, is my guess.
I think I do. I mean, here's a strange thing. If I get 6 hours of sleep, I feel better than if I get seven. I don't know why that is, but it's a part of my timing about myself that I know.
Okay.
But beyond that, in terms of circumstantial timing, it's hard for me to see and perceive my own timing in relation to the outside world.
If you had 6 hours of sleep,
uh-huh,
it makes you feel good.
Yeah, I wake up feeling very refreshed.
Okay, what if you were with somebody new, refreshing, exciting, and you were spending a night with someone? Does it make a difference if it's 6 hours or 7 hours then?
I'm not sure.
Right. Something changes.
Yeah.
It's interesting bringing up also the relationship between two people's timings. Like we were saying, when me and you spend time together, I have this sort of, I mean, I'm 22, and I've got a upbeat kind of energetic timing that represents somewhat youthful force, and you match me when we're alone.
Sure.
And then we're on the radio, we're here, and we're on your timing. This is your timing room, this
right.
Studio.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot like that with love, too. It's just with the relationships, we have these two different timings, and we kind of match and change because of that in a lot of ways, which is cool.
A little while back, some friends invented a thing called Galvanic Skin Response Machine, GSR2. You'll find it on the internet if you're interested in it. The thing about the GSR2 was that it was a little machine you put on your fingers. And if you get it, here, I'm going to put it on now so you can hear it. I know. If you get it right. There we go.
Looks like a mouse with little magnets on it.
It does.
And Armand's got it on his hand.
Okay, now there it is. That's the sound of it. Hear how high that sound is? As I relax, that sound will go lower. As I get more tense, that sound will get higher. So I'm going to take a moment. And I'll just sink down. Well, it's pretty hard to get too far down while I'm doing the radio show, but you get the idea. You know? GSR2, you can look it up on the internet. An interesting device helps you.
It's a fascinating tool.
So does that help you sort of see your own timing, your internal timing?
Sure. Sure, if I can't get that relaxed, if I can't get that sound, that's so an interesting way this tool was used. Was in a prison in California where this was given to kids who were in prison in one of the gangs. And they had distributed a number of these to the gangs. And they said to the gang, the one who can get it, the deeper you get it, the more powerful you will be in your training, right, in the martial arts. Well, certainly that's right. The deeper you can get, the more powerful you're going to be. And they learned to do it. That was one gang. The other gang found out they were doing that, and they got hold of some machines, and they learned to get the sound all the way down. Well, then the first gang heard about it, and they're going to compete, and they were now competing in relaxation. And for some strange reason, most hostilities disappeared at that one particular prison. That was the work of a good friend of mine.
Amazing.
Amazing thing, right? Here they are competing over that. Okay. Our telephone number here is 212-957-2729. There are times that your timing is going to go out of whack, like if you get sick. I have a belief that we have some kind of spirit self that lives inside us, something that's kind of moderating everything. Call it your spirit self. Or I have a suspicion. I can't say belief, but suspicion. One of the things I noticed about people when they get really sick, the sicker you get, sometimes when a person's really sick, they look dispirited. They look like, you know, you ever hear that word, dispirited?
Yeah,
sure.
Okay, the word dispirited would indicate that your spirit left. So I, in one of my works way back then, when I was doing hypnosis with multiple personality disorder, I got one of these spirits to talk to. Directly, and I asked why it did such a thing. Why this person looked so bad when, and the information was, we the spirits don't like sick bodies. We leave it till the body gets ready for us to come back,
and then come back into it,
and come back into it.
That's it's really interesting.
I know, isn't it fascinating?
Yeah. I've actually heard people say in talking about fighting that when a guy gets knocked out, that the ghost is leaving the body.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
that
they can
that
see
look
the
on the face when the guy goes down is the ghost leaving the body.
You can see the spirit leave the body. Now, let's talk about timing and martial arts and boxing. Right? Was there a big fight yesterday that was very important?
I don't know about
some
yesterday.
Young guy was telling me about the day before yesterday. He said there's some huge fight he's been waiting for years, months to listen to watch.
Well, there's a hypothetical fight that everyone wants to see.
Oh,
which
no.
This is not going to happen, but...
Okay. Anyway, this thing of having... how could you do martial arts without timing?
It's all
about timing, right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Counter...
Yeah, I took Kung Fu for a year and a half, and it's all about... I mean, you literally count out loud while you're doing it. It's about timing your strikes and your poses and everything.
Even your breathing.
In a very specific way, yeah.
Your cardio and your counterattacks.
212-957-2729. What about in your own, now, what about in a communication with somebody else? They want to talk, you want to talk. you slow your timing down sometimes to hear from them.
Well, I see that happen a lot in text messaging. So when two people are texting and the response is instant, there will be a sort of a ping pong thing that happens with the messages. We'll go back, forth, back and forth. But for example, last night, Julian and I were texting and it wasn't urgent. So we were just kind of texting about what was going to happen today. And I sent Julian a message and then he responded to me about an hour later. And I wasn't really paying attention to my phone. And I noticed that by the time I wrote him back, it was an hour after that. So we had established in that small conversation through text a rhythm that was a message an hour. Even though neither one of us was constantly consciously thinking about it, the result was that we were sending one message per hour, roughly. And it was okay. That was the timing of that conversation. But very different than if I was maybe texting someone else where the responses were coming in instantly.
Well, I have a question about that, Ben, because I have a suspicion that texting, I mean, I don't want to be just an old fogey talking about young things that aren't right, but I've never seen texting work out to the benefit of anybody. Somehow it always winds up being some kind of a mess. Now, I know, for example, I know a woman, she's afraid to get on the phone to talk to you. Because she doesn't have the control that she has in the text messaging.
Well, the problem with texting is it removes all nonverbal aspects of communication, which are more than half of communication.
Well, so, the problem or the benefit of?
Well, it depends how you want to look at
it. Yeah, the benefit of is what you're saying. The benefit of texting. See, now this is what I'm seeing is people are in extreme trouble through texting. If you look at somebody's history, if you look at their history and their conversation with any one person through texting, it could be a disaster. Whereas if they'd just spoken to each other on the phone, it would have been so much easier. Yesterday, Wendy Bahari did a program with Wendy where she talked about disarming the narcissist. And she talked about how you could talk to the narcissist interrupting their rhythms in a way that could get you to communicate more efficiently. Because it's nice to love a narcissist. They're usually lots of fun. Hey, we've got Tana on the phone. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. Hello, Tana.
Oh, hi, Armand. Oh, I'm so happy. Happy New Year.
Same to you, Tana.
I'm calling because it seems like every subject that you speak in regards to is things that we all need help with. And I just really want to just thank you so much for your patience with us. And, you know, it's just such a blessing.
Yeah, and what about with you at this matter of timing? What about this issue, Tana?
Well, this year I promised myself to learn to listen more.
Uh-huh. Okay, there it is right there.
That's it. To, you know, and what are the tools that you can maybe help us with listening? You know, it's like what I have to say is so important that sometimes we don't listen to the other person.
Right.
And I came from a corporate background, and I know I was better then with it than I am now, because you have to listen.
Right. So you want to know what tool I recommend? Duct tape. I think duct tape is very, very effective. Put it over your mouth. Shut your mouth. Don't say a word. Maybe make a little lips on it with lipstick. And then don't say a word and just listen. No, I think one of the things it takes is to imagine that you're listening not to the words the person is saying, but you're hearing their soul.
Mm. Wow.
Like right now, as I'm listening to you, I'm not just hearing the words you're saying. I'm hearing a person who's had a long experience of going through life, who's making a lot of major shifts now. And the major shifts are saying, you know, she's saying, you know, maybe I'll shift my ways so that I could find new partners, new friends. Is that a thing in your mind?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That's it right on. And yesterday though it was pre-recorded, it was in regards to narcissistic personalities. And I believe in therapy, and I have, you know, been to therapy, and I try to instill that to everyone, whether you're having an issue or not. It's always great to have someone to listen to you. And I learned something from the therapist in regards to narcissistic personality. So when you hit it yesterday, that was for me also.
Yeah. And what did you learn in regards to the narcissist that affected you? Did you see it in yourself or did you see it in the other person?
No, it was a family member. And the therapist had told me, well, this is what they're dealing with, et cetera, et cetera. And what I learned was that you can't change a person. And this is how they are for whatever reason. And so I have to learn if I'm going to deal with this family member, and it's family, you know, we can't change our family. You know what I'm saying? You're born into a family, and it is what it is. And so I learned how to be a little bit more patient with myself dealing with them.
Oh, so you don't get as angry.
Well, you know what? I wasn't getting angry previously with them. It was more of a hurt and not understanding why they were the way they were, and they didn't give what they should have been given.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's anger.
Excuse me, I'm sorry for laughing.
Right, I'm sorry. Yes, that's anger.
Well, okay. You would know. You would know.
Anna, beautiful to hear from you. Beautiful to hear from you. Thank you for welcoming us on the air. Thank you for Happy New Year.
Thank you so much for just being there, Armel, for so many people that may not be able to get in, for you and Julian and all your staff.
Yeah, I just Ben, isn't it amazing?
You
want to say something directly to Ben and Julian? That's it. They don't get any direct messages. How about say something to Ben?
Oh, Ben, thank you so much for just being there, for all your knowledge and your patience with us. You just don't know. We're right now in this world, we're dealing with a hurting world.
And, absolutely.
And we just want to, I want to help people to feel better, because I know what it's like not to feel good all the time. So I thank you, Armel, because we need you in this world. You are truly a blessing, and God bless you all. Have a blessed new year.
Hey, Tana, why are the phones ringing in the background?
Because somebody probably is sending me a message.
Oh, I see. Somebody's sending you a message. I thought you were at some kind of a fulfillment center.
No, I wish.
You know?
I wish.
Just everybody sending you a donation of love.
No.
Hopefully not a text message.
No, hopefully not a text. Thank you so much. And you have a great day, you all.
Thanks, Tana.
This is Armando Miller with you from me. You know, from the day a baby is conceived and all through adulthood, people go through many stages and changes. And they go through many changes, and it's expected to be difficult, and now will change.
I mean, there's timing involved in all kinds of life changes, Armand. You know, timing affects starting a family or making a career move, and all of these are big changes that people have to consider timing around.
But, you know, if you're a child, what's your sense of timing then? And what happens is you go through different changes at different times. If you think about a woman, and you think about the changes that we go through, men and women, what are the changes that we go through? What are the physical changes that underlie our sense of timing and therefore underlie our sense of being, you know, the way we perform, the way we are? So what I'm going to do when we get back from the break, I want to cover some of the changes that take place through our maturity. And Henry, if you'll stick with me for a little while, we'll be back in a few minutes. But first, if we have to pick magnificent timing, let me put some magnificent timing on a recording and play that for you. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue with this subject.
Gotan Project with Last Tango in Paris. You're listening to The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM, WBAI New York. Today we're talking about timing and changes with Armand DeMille and Julian Joiello.
We've got Henry on the line.
Hello, Armand.
Hello, Henry. Nice to hear from you.
It's a pleasure to call you.
I didn't hear you since last year.
What do you mean, on Facebook?
Yes.
No, but really? No, I've been listening since I was like 13. I'm pushing 30 now. It's
17 years.
Yeah, 17 years. I'm a little drunk right now, so you'll have to pardon me, but that's why I'm nervous to have called you. But
I'll tell you what. Let's slow down. So now one of the things that alcohol does is it really plays...
I want to talk about, you know...
I know. I'm going to talk about what you want to talk about. But I'm saying I'm going to move to your rhythm.
Okay.
So talk to me. Don't get too nervous. I got you.
All right.
Tell me, Henry.
No, I wanted to thank you because, like, of all the... Like, I was a big BAI fan, and I was, like, a very liberal person. I still am, but, like, I really don't listen to the radio. I don't even... Like, my music, I just find my own music. But, like, you're one of those people that I find is a very genuine person. I'm bipolar, but I find, like, you're a very safe person, and you admit, like, a sort of honesty. And I've always appreciated that about you. And speaking of rhythm, I can go on and on, but I just wanted to start on and just say that, Armand, that, you know, like, I've been listening to you for years, even when I've been up and down, friends, no friends, I've always been a fan.
So there's a funny thing, Henry, what you're saying is, yes. You could be a fan is one thing, but what you're saying is, you could be out of sync. You could feel really out of your own rhythm, and somehow, in 17 years, if on Tuesdays and Wednesdays or whatever I'm on, you can tune in and hear me. It plugs you back into your...
I listen to your podcast, and I just, like, it just listen to your voice, and I'm just like, I understand where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you do. So it plugs you into yourself. It connects you back to yourself. How beautiful. I want to thank Tom Gerby. You know, we never thank Tom Gerby for this. Tom Gerby, who's our web designer and who has put those podcasts up there and made thousands of podcasts available for people, at no cost to them. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's really great. Thanks, Tom.
There's a little.
You've had the website for some time. Like I'm a total web. Like I'm a geek on the web. Like and you've had it for so long. So, and I've just always been listening. You know.
Well, I thank you for that, Henry. And Henry, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
At this point in your life, do you feel like depressed?
Hell yeah, but, you know, it's like the depression is a wild ride because I can do whatever the hell I want. I can listen to all the music I want, and, you know, there's no I've done jobs. I've made the money. Right now I can be irresponsible because I'm responsible for what I'm supposed to be responsible for, if that makes sense.
It does make a lot of sense. Thank you, Henry. Thank you so much. Thank you. You give us a lesson to learn.
I hope so. I don't know, you know.
Well, my blessings go out to you.
That's the most honest thing I've said. You know, I'm kind of from an abusive situation. I don't, you know, I'm not as verbal on the radio as some people are, although I can be. It's difficult. But, like, it's like Ben was saying, you know, with this generation now, we're all on the computers and stuff, and I was always, like, an awkward kid, and, you know, it's always been hard for me, but I forgot what I was going to say. But
it's okay, Henry, I got to get going. I got other people here, and I want to be able to complete this. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Thank you for standing by. Sure, 17 years. Huh? 17 years.
It's a long time to be listening.
Did I ever tell you about the time at the Gramercy Park Hotel? I'm going to the Gramercy Park Hotel for some kind of an event, and as I was leaving, I hailed a cab. A guy comes rushing over to me. He says, "You're Armand DeMille." I said, "Yeah, I'm Armand DeMille." He said, "I recognize your voice." He said, "Since I was born, my mother, who's a single parent, has had your program on as often as you were on. Sometimes I was on 4 days a week." And she said, "So I grew up with you as my surrogate father."
Incredible.
Wow.
He said, "So here I am seeing you now, getting a cab for you." He says, "And I've heard you more in my life, more in my family life than any other human as a male." It's quite an experience.
It's a lot like Lucas we had.
Right.
He's 10 years old, and he had been listening his whole life and learning really intelligent boy. It was great to have him on about 6 months ago. We called him. It was cool.
Yep, he was listening the other day, I hear. Okay, so let's go through these changes, Ben. Talk about what happens with boys as we go through, as we grow up now. So we're kids, but during adolescence, a thing called puberty comes in, and you remember that onset, order, and speed take a big role in this. So when's the onset of puberty? What about boys?
Well, of course, it's different for everybody, but it typically for boys will happen between 12 or 13 to 14 to 16, and that 12 to 16-year-old range. And that's when boys physically start maturing, become taller, stronger, the genitals start growing, the voice gets deeper, and body hair, appearance of that. And that's you know, the external changes. But
let me ask you a question about that. Now, body hair has become non-attractive. For a good while, to a lot of people, body hair was a beautiful thing. But now, I hear a lot of people saying they hate body hair. You don't hear that?
I think on women, its prevalence is sort of...
No, women on men. They like men without body hair. There are men who are shaving the hair off their chest and off their bodies because they want to be without hair. Now, I know this is true in the Eastern cultures.
I think that may be a case of a minority of people doing that, but it's getting a lot of attention, so it makes it seem like more prevalent
okay.
than it is.
Okay, let's pass that by. I'm going to do some research on that. So what happens to boys? So he starts growing hair.
Yeah, and but that's the external. All those are physical external changes. Internally, what's going on is the sort of process of being able to reproduce. That is kind of happening, right, with the genitals and the reproductive organs and the hormones that are happening. That's, you know, that's the point where a boy becomes a man because he's physically...
Well, I don't even believe there is such a thing as a boy becomes a man. But a boy becomes...
I mean physiologically.
Yeah, no, physiologically. In other words, when you become a hunter, right? If you become a hunter, as you go on the hunt, hunt for food, hunt for your apartment, hunt for life, hunt for girls... As you become a hunter, then your rhythm changes. Because now you're in the rhythm of being a child is one rhythm. Being a kid who could play with everybody else, like Julian was saying, could talk randomly. And then becoming the person who just absolutely has a target in mind. What is that thing I want?
It's an increased aggression.
What is that thing I'm after? I'm after female, male. It doesn't have to be all male, male. It could be male, male, but I'm after sex. I'm after getting rid of this sperm and taking it and spilling it wherever I can because it helps me make as many babies possible because that's what nature told me I should do. So now I'm built into a reproductive machine. I become a machine just meant to do this. That's my job. Now, that's got to do something to your mind because that's your total rhythm. By the way, our number here is 212-957-2729. That's boys. So boys go in there. What do girls do, Julian?
Well, unlike boys, the girl's first physical sign of puberty is usually the initial growth of their breasts. And according to Physical Changes in Girls During Puberty, it's an article from the website we got this article from, girls start to change into women from the inside to the outside. Which is a big difference.
What's that? Wait. Let's think about that. From the inside to the outside. The boys go from the outside to the inside. Right. The boys grow muscles. Right. They get larger testicles. They grow hair. And the women do what?
The women's hormones and internal structures and everything like this sort of starts developing first and then to the external experience on the outside. So it is a sort of reversal of process.
Well, internally, girls are beginning to enable themselves to reproduce. This stage is called menarche, M-E-N-A-R-C-H-E, which is kind of interesting because it starts with the word men and ends with the word arch. And if you ever saw most females in all of nature, it's kind of the arch of the female that leads the man to access. So menarche is what it's called. The beginning of menstrual periods. Now, although periods start irregular, a girl can become pregnant even before her first menstrual period. Which brings us back to what happened at the beginning of nature. When we were just savage little animals running around, before we even became humans, many millions of years ago, something found out, the hominids found out, that if, since young girls at age 12, if they become pregnant, the head of the newly developed mammal will not pass through their pelvis. So what was happening is for a certain period of time, girls who were raped or taken by age 11 or 12, they would become pregnant and they would die with the baby inside them because their pelvis hadn't developed. So the females had to figure out, how are we going to save the human race? And they did. They figured it out by saying, what we have to do is we have to hide this fact, the fact that we are ready for sex, because somebody's going to come and jump on us. So at this very beginning, to save mankind, humankind, women learned to deceive men. And it's just in the deception that we saved the human race. It's just all different. So timing is a female's timing is going to change according to her hormones, which are motivating her on one level, and then in addition, her desire to hide her timing at the same time.
So this talk about puberty and growing up sort of relates back to your internal timing as a man or a woman or a boy or a girl.
Right, and we have to know our timing. Now, this is what the problem is with most people. They don't know their timing. Most people are not in touch with it. And it's like if you get a therapist sometimes, the therapist helps you get to understand your own timing.
Well, I remember like my sister when she was younger and she was going through puberty. She's my twin sister. And she reached that point earlier than me because she's a girl. And it's kind of like she wasn't aware of her timing. She wasn't aware what was going on in the body, so her timing was off. She was still a 12-year-old girl, but she didn't prepare herself for the timing that was coming on, the things that were happening in her body. So she reaches this kind of like conflicting part in her life.
What an interesting thing for you to see as a twin. So what's that experience? It's almost like it's happening to you.
It was like a little bit like that, and a little bit I wanted to get taller. Like, for example, she got taller than I did.
Huh.
And I was like, well, what is this? I want to be taller. And instead, I ended up taking, you know, another 2 years before I was really, you know, the height I ended up getting closer to now. And I watched her go through that first, but my timing wanted to match hers, kind of like we were talking before.
We have to have her come by, and we got to have a long discussion about with the two of you. It's really fascinating.
Yeah, I would love to have her in here.
Really? Really?
Yeah,
invite
fun.
Her. Invite her. It would be a pleasure. 212-957-2729. We have Emmanuel on the line. Hi there, Emmanuel. It's Armand DeMille.
Yes, good afternoon, Armand. And good
Hi,
afternoon
Emmanuel. Thank you for waiting.
To your audience and to your guests in the station. I just want to speak a little bit about this whole timing issue, and you, something just happened for me with your conversations around this whole timing thing. I was sitting there listening to you say that there was a difference between serendipity and synchronicity. And to me, serendipity or coincidence is the micro, and synchronicity is the macro of the two. And so when I was listening, because you guys started talking about this whole texting thing, and I was sitting there listening, and I was listening to your program yesterday about narcissism, and I wanted to call in, but I couldn't. And I was listening today, and you guys started talking about texting. And right away, that synchronicity started to go into play, because it was right there at that moment that I saw the connection between the texting thing and what I wanted to talk to you about yesterday in terms of our technology enhancing narcissism. And you kind of broached on it, and it was at that moment, I think, that it was relevant for me within my own timing, because I recognized that that was what I was listening for. and I was somehow able to connect to the macro.
Yeah, how great. Emmanuel, how beautiful. Thank you so much. Thank you. That's very valuable.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. 212-957-2729. As the physical changes during puberty were not enough, become important emotional aspects that people should know about. As you get older, you know, adolescence, there's adolescence, and then there's adulthood, and then being a parent, and then being what it's like to become a grandparent. What happens in timing? You know what happens to grandparents? Their timing gets lost. And sometimes you hear grandparents insisting, or parents insisting that their child have children. What they're looking to do is to reboot their own sense of timing. They want children in there. They want babies in there to make up for the stuff they're losing.
Yeah, it's kind of like we're going through different phases of timing throughout our whole lives, and then as the grandparent phase comes along, the timing sort of disappears, and you want to bring that back.
I know everybody loves being a grandparent, but I suspect nowadays there are a lot of animosities that are growing from children of grandparents, not their child, but the mates. You know, sometimes you become such a good grandmother that your daughter-in-law hates you, but doesn't tell you.
Well, the interesting thing with the grandparents, and I was thinking about this today, actually, is that it's grandparents, maybe the timing is it creates a new life cycle. Because after you've gone to, you know, the graduations and the weddings, the next step is funerals. And so with every new generation, there's like a new cycle of life, a new cycle of events.
And funerals.
Yeah.
And funerals.
Do you see what I mean?
Right?
Like,
yeah,
after everyone in your age group gets married, the next event for the next big event is like the funeral. I mean, I know it's like a little morbid, but
it's true.
It's
going
true.
To the funeral of. Oh, I'm going to the funeral of. I hear a lot of my friends say, oh, I'm going to the funeral of.
Yeah. So then, So having children or grandchildren is like almost resetting that cycle. So now I could look forward to a graduation. Or a wedding.
Right, there's always that event that you can kind of look forward to and say, I'm moving forward towards this thing.
Right, right.
And when you don't have that event to move forward, does your timing disappear? Is that what we're saying?
That's it. Your timing is slowing down. You know, maybe what nature does to you as you get older is it slows your timing, getting you ready for death. Slows your thinking, slows your, you know. Says, okay, here, get ready to go out on the ice nice and peacefully. Maybe that's what Alzheimer's is. You know, a reduction in your timing, just changing it down, taking it down. This is Armando Mill with you, 957-2729. We only have another couple of minutes to take calls. If you think about timing, it's your timing is what's important. It's just yours. It's not what's important is the you versus them. We had the right timing, coincidence, that whole thing. Throw that out the window. It's all about your timing. It's how did you step out of your own place? Because almost every time you have a big dramatic moment in life, it's because you found a plus for your minus. There was something inside you that wasn't right, and then you found something to make it right, and you say, what a great coincidence. Look at that happening. So timing, my friends, is worthy to pay attention to, and much more worthy to give it a lot of thought on your own time. Look at it everywhere. Just ask yourself, where is my timing? Where is the timing of these other people? And see what that does for you.
Yeah, it's hard to really sort of engineer your timing to mesh with everything around you. But when you do get into that groove, if you will, it's a magical thing. Because once you do hit that space where your time just kind of works with the world around you, it's amazing how things kind of fall into place.
Yeah, and sometimes people, I know I have friends that need a habit of some kind to keep their timing in check. Like I have a friend who needs to work out 3 or 4 hours a day, and that brings her into a happy kind of place. That gives her her timing, she gets the energy out, and then she can kind of flow freely without being nervous, without being angry. And I've noticed that in a couple of my friends, that the physical exertion kind of moves them forward in the timing.
I want to thank you guys today. I want to thank you guys today. It's been absolutely beautiful. I want to make an announcement. A friend of ours, who does what's called a pulmonary wellness center, they're doing a lecture with Robert Kaner, MD, who's very famous for dealing with lung disease, and the Masters athlete Bill Vick, Wednesday, next Wednesday from 7 to 8:30. It's free. To register, you go to pulmonarywellness.com.
And thanks, as always, to all our listeners for listening and for connecting with us through email and Twitter.
Yeah, we hear. What did we just hear from Mexico?
Yeah, we got a note all the way from Mexico.
Saying that we have a gang in Mexico, right?
Yeah.
We got a positive mind gang in Mexico.
Fantastic. I can just imagine it in my head. I see it. It's just a group of people.
See them sitting around saying,
around radio.
Did you hear Julian today?
New
yeah.
ideas. Hey there. How's it going? Mexico.
Muchas gracias.
Muchas gracias. Thanks very much, friends. We'll be back with you next Tuesday at 1 p.m. without fail.
Go to thepositivemind.com to listen to our archives of today's show. And make sure to check us out on Twitter at Armand DeMille, D-I-M-E-L-E.